is taken from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as a father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down by my own account. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. May God bless the reading of this word.
Of Hazleton, some of you may have been there. It's a lovely place. And this was one of the passages that I had to preach on early in my ministry from the Gospel of John. Hazleton was and still is a small rural community. And many of the children there were in the 4-H clubs where you raise animals and, you know, learn about how to care for them. And so when this passage came up, I thought, I'm going to ask the 4 children from one family that I knew had sheep. They had a whole field of them. And I decided I would start the service by reading Psalm 23 and then asking them what it was like to be a shepherd and care for animals. So I called their house, and I got the son, whose name appropriately was David, and he asked around, and he said he and his 3 sisters would be delighted to come up front in the church and share their experiences with the congregation. Then there was a silence on the other end of the phone, and then I could hear some mumbling, and he got back on and he said, "Would you like us to bring one of our sheep to the church?" I thought, oh, this is a great idea. So on that Sunday, and the church was about as big as this little section here. On that Sunday, I stood up in the church. I had these great plans, and I began to read in what I thought was a majestic voice as we opened the service, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the children were at the back, and they slowly came down the aisle, pulling a little black lamb who baaed every few steps in response to my words. It was adorable, and everyone began to smile. And then suddenly they began to laugh. Because as I got to, he leads me in the paths of righteousness, their father entered at the back of this little parade, and he was a surgeon in the hospital there, so he was wearing his white doctor coat, looking very serious, but with a smirk on his face. And in his right hand, he held a broom and dustpan. And his left, tucked under his left arm, was a large paper towel roll. Surely, goodness and mercy and the cleanup squad will follow me all the days of my life. So much for the solemn introduction to the gospel that I had planned. Because you see, a sense of humor is much more important. Just in case you're wondering, the little lamb was very well behaved and polite. And he waited until he was on the front steps of the church after the service to need some sanitary attention. wonder sometimes at the things in the Gospel of John and the other Gospels, and in fact, in most of the Christian scriptures. It feels like there isn't enough laughing. But it's not true. There's a lot of partying. It's just that John gets really serious. He's got some really important things to say. And so today, once again, after many years, I'm going to use this passage from John. It is beautiful. It may be familiar to many of you. And it's very complex. Usually, in the season of Easter, the fourth Sunday is the time to read about shepherds. And in many places, it's called Good Shepherd Sunday. So today, because we're using Scott's theme, we're going to use it a week later. This is a passage that describes the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep of his own accord, and he has the power to take it up again. This is a resurrection story. The good shepherd, we are told, has a relationship with his animals. They know him, and he knows each of them by name. He searches for other sheep to add to the flock, and they too will follow his voice. In contrast, we hear that the hired hand is uncaring and leaves when things get difficult. The hired hand has no emotional investment in the flock, and he abandons the sheep whenever danger threatens. Now, this is one of these passages with light and dark and good and evil and saved and condemned that appears so often in the Gospel of John. And we may wonder at what he's doing here, and sometimes you say, it's not like that. But I think that this is a poetic form from the whole ancient world. It appears in many biblical writings. We find it a lot in the Hebrew scriptures. You may not notice it, but it's always there, especially in the Psalms and the book of Proverbs. And they present us with what seem like ironclad choices. How are we to behave? Well, a good person obeys the laws of God. An evil person turns away from what is right. Just look and you'll see it in a lot of these places. A woman of virtue keeps her household in order, but watch out for those temptresses out on the street there. Obedient children will prosper in life. Naughty ones will come to a very bad end. We may sometimes feel when we read these passages that they're old and we should throw them out and close the book. We're being forced into trying to be perfect, or else we will fall into utter degradation. Now, I think that John and all the other writers of Scripture are using this method to get us to pay attention. These are exaggerations. They force us not to choose, but to find the middle ground of life. We may be tempted when we read these passages to classify ourselves. Oh, who am I in this? Or to label others. Who are they? Reality is never so simple. If we want to know the fullness of the concept of shepherds and hired hands that we are given today, I think we have to expand our ideas. There are good shepherds, and maybe there are some who are less involved. Welfare of the animals. There are paid workers who just do their jobs, and there are others who give extra effort and service. This passage makes us think of a multitude of images and examples in our own world. And that's where we want to be guided, because that's what we do when we're talking about biblical works. We want to say, how does this affect me? How does this relate to my world? We want to be involved in the gospel message so that it reshapes us and opens our hearts and offers us new insights and paths to follow. Upon hearing this story, we may want to classify things in terms of leaders and followers, of executives and staff, or consider the difference between a call and a job, a covenant and a contract, the collection and the offering. The language we use, especially in our church life, is very important. A call, a covenant, an offering means something different than a job, a contract, a collection, because they involve the soul and the sacred. They invite God to be part of our actions. And that attitude can be carried into our secular life as well. Whenever the love of God intrudes upon our work, we become good shepherds and good hired hands. We can apply this to work situations in many places. Think about some of the work that you may have done. Imagine a company, either large or small, or a business with an owner and a couple of employees. Maybe it's a restaurant you're thinking of with a manager and all those young people with summer jobs who work in the kitchen or serving tables. How about a hospital with a board of trustees and medical staff and maintenance people? You may have worked in some of these situations or know people who do. The good shepherd in these situations is a leader who cares, a person concerned about the people they employ, a person who evaluates the work situation. Are the people who work for me happy? Are there ways that we can do things better? Have the workers been consulted about these things? A good hired hand does the job for love, not just money. The job itself may actually be uninteresting or methodical, but it may also be means of feeding their family. That's love. It becomes a worthy action, no matter what kind of work is being done, because it brings dignity and meaning and self-respect to the people who are doing it. Mother Teresa once said, "Work is love made visible." The uncaring shepherd is just that, uncaring and uninvolved. To them, employees are nameless, faceless, disposable. If a person quits because they can't stand it anymore, there's always someone else waiting for the work. There's often a huge gap in companies between what the staff take home and the benefits of the management. The uncaring hired hand just goes through the motions and leaves with no sense of loyalty. But that may be because the shepherd is also uncaring. It's just a job, and all the fun in life is someplace else. There is no feeling of involvement or a sense that perhaps the ideas of the worker could be recognized and valued. They could make a difference. This is a passage that in a modern sense may make us take a closer look at our own life and work, our job satisfaction, and even our volunteer commitments. It might make us take a closer look at what's going on in the world around us, in our community, in our schools, in our government, and in all the world situations. We don't want to judge people. That's not a good way to carry on life. We don't want to stuff everyone even into these four categories. Who am I? Who are they? What about the people I work with? Don't do that. What we want to do is look at our attitudes towards work and politics and happiness and conflict, and then change ourselves so that we can make a better world. are surrounded by a world which has grown smaller because of improved communication. Today, it's possible to know about disasters a few moments after they occur, or if you're lucky or unlucky, you can watch them right on the TV, anywhere in the world. And so often when we see this happening, we feel powerless. We become not shepherds who are committed to their responsibilities, but hired hands who throw the newspaper in the garbage, turn off the TV, stop reading Google News, and run from danger. In some places, people don't vote because they figure, what's the use? We become like a flock of sheep leading in fear and panic because they think they're lost. They want someone else to take care of us and fix things. Not us. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to stand there and say, no, we can't have anything to do with this. We are constantly being bombarded by bad news because that's what sells. But God asks us to look for the good news, the news of healing and reconciliation and mercy and love, and be part of that good news. And it's a burden that we have to bear. Every time we hear the voice of God and answer it, we know that we are being responsible for others. The voice of God asks us to be caring shepherds, involved hired hands, to see the world in terms of a covenantal relationship, to see our work as a call to action, to see our giving, especially up here, not as a forced collection, it's not a tax, but as a joyful offering in response to God's grace. You look at our church, not this one, but the whole United Church, and we realize that caring shepherds and hired hands, ministers and laity, executives and staff need to change in order to live more fully in God's world. Our buildings, our properties, our programs need to be evaluated on a constant basis to make sure that we're using our resources and our ministries to serve God and God's children, not just our own preferences and habits. Let's look at these changes that we have to make in terms of the good news, not with fear and anxiety, but with a generous spirit of cooperation. Creative solutions are happening all around us. The barrier between the shepherd and the hired hand is being lowered. The borders between who makes decisions and who carries them out are being crossed. And more people are becoming involved in the process of making good things happen. Every time we see our work in terms of life-giving tasks instead of hourly wages, every time we approach our work in terms of joy and a sense of call, we are following the way of the good shepherd and the good hired hand. Today, all over the world, people are aiding refugees, working in relief centers, doing rescue work in their own communities, in hazardous positions. There are volunteers who willingly put their lives on the line sometimes because they care about others. There are many people here, I know, who are doing the same thing. John says, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Most of the time for us, laying down our lives doesn't mean death. It does mean taking risks, living with uncertainty, becoming involved, using the time and energy for the sake of other people in God's family. It is the life that we are called to as Christians. It is not a job, an onerous task to be completed in a certain time so that we can go home and play. It's an everyday, all day, lifetime thing. It is the call of God to make this world a better place. 2 weeks ago, two people that I have always held in great respect died. They were completely different in so many ways, but their faith and their actions came down to the same thing, devoting themselves to life-affirming activities. Jean Vanier, many of you know, was 90 years old, had lived a long, full life. He came from a privileged position. He was the son of a Governor General of Canada. He grew up in France and England, where his father's diplomatic career took him. He began his adulthood with a good naval career in England and then in Canada. And suddenly, in his late 20s, he gave up all that he had, began a time of spiritual searching, and founded the L'Arche communities, homes where people with developmental challenges could live in community with people who cared more about them than for them. He said, "The most important thing is not to do things for people who are poor and in distress, but to enter into relationship with them and help them find confidence in themselves and discover their own gifts." Amen. Rachel Held Evans, whom probably not too many of you know, was a young woman who died from a sudden illness a week at the same time as Jean Vanier at the age of 37. She was described in an article in The Atlantic magazine last week as a well-known Christian blogger, author, and joyful troublemaker online, and I loved her stuff. She left the shelter of her family's evangelical church. There's nothing wrong with the evangelical church, but they did put constraints on her, and she said, "I can't do this." She left that calm, sure place, and she struck out into the unknown world of God's justice. She expressed herself in contemporary articles and books and supported those who felt rejected or unwelcome by the church. She provided encouragement and acceptance and a new place for diverse voices who had been denied authority or power in the Christian world. Women, LGBTQ people, the poor, the sinner, the ones who just didn't fit in, she worked for them. She allowed herself to be vulnerable. She acknowledged her own human fragility and failings. Speaking with care and humility, she summoned grace to abandon. One of her quotes that, one of my favorites, and apparently everybody else's who reads the internet, is this one, and it just touched my heart. "The gospel doesn't need a coalition devoted to keeping the wrong people out. It needs a family of sinners saved by grace, committed to tearing down the walls, throwing open the doors and shouting, 'Welcome, there's bread and wine, come eat with us and talk.' This isn't a kingdom for the worthy. It's a kingdom." So who is Jesus Christ for you today? Lamb, shepherd, leader, teacher, worker, companion on the way. How do you lead? How can you follow? For what do you hunger? How can you be an example to others as you work for change, for justice, for compassion, love? Just be a caring shepherd as you lead. Be an involved hired hand as you work for others. Remember to see each task that you do in terms of love, backed by the power of God. Offer your lives to others so that they may have justice and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.